Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court strike.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Skyhook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille fadeaway.
Giants for the win. James puts up the three. Oh, it's good!
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in! With 5 tenths of a second remaining!
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, and today is one of my favorite pods of the year. So much so, it's going to be two pods here for Thursday and Friday. Going to do our draft preview pod today with the great Mike Garcia. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well. How's it going, man?
Doing very well. Always excited to do this with you. Really appreciate you sharing your expertise. I've had the privilege of talking hoops with you for over 20 years, and your knowledge extends beyond just the draft, but I appreciate you really zeroing in on that with us, my man. And let's start out with that. We're going to talk a lot about the Lakers in this draft from a Laker-centric perspective. But before we do that, what do we need to know about this draft, just from an overall sense?
So this draft is kind of unprecedented. I mean, you just said earlier, we've known each other 20 years. I have never seen a draft with arguably four number one picks and with depth at the same time.
Wow.
When I say that, it's like, oh, the guy I would hypothetically take at number four, if it was a maybe a weaker draft or weaker at the top or whatever, would I take him number one? Yeah, absolutely. It's like that. And then when it comes to depth, even with the NIL and everything and bigger contracts offered at the collegiate level, I mean, there's 25 to 30 players that I would consider first round types. Usually that number is like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the guys that it's like, okay, they'll stick to a second contract. They'll make it comfortably. The guys are happy on the roster, et cetera. But when it's 30, this is a lot. And 30 guys aren't going to retire out of the NBA either. So
yep.
That's what makes it so much more exciting for this year.
That is very exciting, and very exciting from a Lakers perspective, right? We just recorded a pod, Darius and I, talking about like this team's kind of a blank slate at the time that we're recording right now, and it can go in so many different directions. I know you're very much a best player available kind of guy. That what you're describing is a draft with 25 to 30 first round grades, higher than normal. Very exciting for a Lakers team. This is one of the only ways that they have to control adding that youth and talent that they've been really expressing a desire to add. So I turn that question to you, Mike, from a Lakers perspective. If you're strategizing over this draft in the Lakers war room, kind of how does it fit in to the overall plans, do you think?
The idea of best player available can change season to season. It kind of varies with draft class as well. And with the Lakers hiring new staff, I know Tony Bennett's one of the draft advisors, and he spoke about in his, I guess, in the press release that he was looking for a high IQ, high skill, high character. And I'm like, okay, here's three specific things, or here's a specific lens I'm looking through. Does that change things a little bit for me? Yeah, it does. Because, look, my fever dream would have four other lob threats around Luka and one guy to set really hard screens, and I just want dunks every skill possession. That's me.
Amen. It's a great shot.
Yeah, exactly. But this time around, this sounds like, oh, we want guys who, when they're with the team, they'll develop well. We don't have to worry about them. They'll be great in the locker room. It's a long-term projection, not just, hey, let's see what we can get, and we're not sure, but if he pads out, okay, great, right? That's a whole different philosophy altogether. Specifically for this draft, through a Laker lens, I would be focusing on centers. Now, what makes it unique is it's very guard-heavy in the lottery into the mid-first. I would say there's arguably six guards to look at, basically from number four all the way down to like 24. And they're all highly regarded. But when it comes to centers, there's probably six centers worth looking at in that general range too. And the way that other teams draft, guys slip. They have their own philosophies. They focus on different things. They want wingspans. They want athleticism. Whatever it is, guys will always slip down. So there's that in the first round, and then into the second round, it's like a whole other group of centers all over again that are all similar archetypes, all similar size, all athletic. So I would be looking at the draft as an opportunity to get an archetype that isn't easy to acquire, especially through free agency or trade.
Yes.
Because teams are going to hold on to these guys. That's just what it is.
We just did a pod on this, Mike, about like you look at the center market and you really go through who guy you could trade for or free agency. And there's like, they're okay, but there's nobody that makes you do a backflip. And so if they could get a five out of this draft, that'd be huge.
Okay. I'll just say this up front before we continue. The guy I really, really, really wanted for the Lakers went back to Arizona. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why you would like him is because he's a drop coverage guy who's about 7'3 with 7'5 arms, and he's really good at drop coverage. But the details that you would look at is he screens really well. He actually boxes out. That block percentage isn't just a block percentage. Oh, the number is low. No, it's because he shows verticality at the rim and he doesn't get fouls. He does all the little things that matter on the basketball floor that box scores don't account for. And unfortunately, he's back in school.
Is that Kribas?
Yes, it is Kribas. And I mean, I know Michigan was the top team last year. I mean, they basically ran three lottery picks as a front line. But Kribas was the guy who went up against, 7'3 Mara with the 9'9 standing reach. And it's like, yeah, I'll back you down in the post. Yeah, it's a little jump hook, but I can do it. And I can be physical against you and I can be successful. That's the guy I wanted. So I'm just going to get that out of the way. The second guy you would appreciate, which lines up with the fever dream, he was part of the combine process. And he was a former teammate of Adut Thiro, and his name is Billy Richmond. And it was more of a risk because, oh, he's a role player. He doesn't have prominent usage. What does this guy do? And I refer to him, a comparison would be Gary Payton II, or some would say, DJJ over in the Clippers now. He is a 6'5 guard. He's got 6'8 arms, but the athletic ability is there. He is a lob threat, even at that size. He is that kind of defender, and he reads the floor in a very unique way where it's like, oh, I can anticipate what you're going to do, and I can beat you to the spot. And I'm like, I want that guy. He returned to as well. So, I mean, let's get started.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm curious, Mike, with the NIL and all of the players that need to, you know, declare or not, and we are not at that deadline yet, right? So we're still waiting for that. What do you think the depth of this draft is, just from a, I know you said 25 to 30 first round grades, but is there sort of a cap into the second round that you think of past this point, there's kind of a drop off?
I think there's a drop off right around that 45 to 50 mark. Okay. The unique thing about the NIL is, the contracts that are rumored to be offered, I don't know what the exact numbers are. I've just read things in passing. But it's like a guy who was a late first or early second was offered a contract that's worth like the number 7 pick this year. Mm-hmm. If you're a college student and you're just like, oh, I could get this in 1 year, or I could get an NBA contract of relative value over the course of 3 years. What do I want? Well,
easy decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And oh, I can transfer to and get a raise. Oh, well, there's no cap on this. So that's the thing. The other aspect to this is the second round, it's almost all exclusively 22, 23-year-old players, even a little bit older than that. Mm-hmm. So the upside is, okay, if you know the Lakers have a reputation for buying a second rounder, right? So it's if we buy a pick, okay, we're getting an experienced guy who's been in a program for a while. Do we want to draft because of their program? Like, that's something to think about now. Mm. And, oh, this player has a lot of tournament experience and he's had a prominent role. He knows what he's getting into. Do I like that guy? Yes or no? So those are a couple things to absolutely consider. But it seems like right around that 45-50 mark, and then it just kind of like drops really quickly.
Let's go to break here. And when we come back, I want to get into the list of players you sent me, starting with one of those 22 or 23-year-olds.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's CYMBIOTIKA.com, code START.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric. It's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
First guy on our list, Mike, Joshua Jefferson, forward out of Iowa State. What a passer. Oh my goodness. And just super high IQ, great feel. I was very impressed with his anticipation. Just when you were talking about the comments that Bennett made about high IQ and field, that sort of thing, he jumped off of the screen in just my blink reaction to him. Talk to us about him.
So he's just under 6'8". He's got about 6'11", arms. But the thing that stuck out for me is it isn't just his ability to read the floor. He reads the floor on offense and defense equally well. That really sticks out on tape where it's like, oh, I know where to be within this play. I know how to put myself in a good position, and I know how to set up my teammates. So if I'm operating out of the post, I know my cutter. I know where my shooters are. I got everything covered. Oh, they're going to double me? This guy's open. And it's instantaneous, and it's quick processing, and it's great. And then on the flip side of things, on the defensive end, it's, oh, my teammate is helping this side, and I've got to cover two guys. Who's the guy I need to cover best because this guy's the better three-point shooter or this guy's a better post player? And he has the size to actually do it. Like, he executes X-outs really well. He makes decisions and processes really well defensively. And those things aren't easily taught. I mean, We watch this Laker team, and it's one of those things where it's like, oh, this guy is late, or this guy made a mistake. And one of the things I can't account for is, well, how many mistakes do players make throughout a game? Well, if this guy cleans up just this specific aspect, everything else gets easier for the rest of the team. And maybe it's an easier decision for the teammates too. That's intangible. You can't really account for that. But yeah, Jefferson's great. If there is a downside, I mean, look, he's not the most athletic guy. It's almost a Kyle Anderson kind of speed, right? So there's the idea of, okay, here's a power forward. He's over 250 pounds. He operates out of the post. He's operated out of the wing. He's been a spot-up guy. In transition, yeah, he could play downhill, but he's not going to leap really high at the rim. So he's going to be utilizing any deceleration he has, all of his power. And I would say, like, his touch is decent only because he draws, like, an awful lot of and-one opportunities at the rim. But some easier opportunities, they don't always drop. Doesn't really make sense to me. But, you know, these players are who they are. Would I trade that touch for that IQ? I think I would.
Oh, absolutely. Mike, he jumped off the screen for me from an IQ perspective. And like, it was similar to how a couple of years ago, Jordan Goodwin with the two-way deal. I was like, this dude's seeing things ahead of even other NBA rotation players. And I know he's a little bit older, and I'm curious how you factored that in from a, yeah, he's smarter than the 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds that he's around. Can that how well does that translate to the NBA level? But to make up for that athleticism, Mike, I'm watching him break on passes like a half second before other guys do to get a steal. And there's just whatever basketball scenario it is, whether on the offensive end or the defensive end, I think that he makes up for that athleticism and then some with just that IQ.
One of my favorite aspects about him is the IQ is so great, and he sees things so far ahead where maybe he's not the fastest guy, but he anticipated, and then he just moves and it's immediate. It's not like, oh, I see it. 1 second. Okay, I will go get it now. There's no lag time from the decision to the action. It's just instantaneous. And that's what makes it great. Even on Twitter, somebody said like, oh, this is like, you know, like the older version of LeBron James. And I'm like, okay, well then that would be a steal at number 25. I'll take that any day. Like, if you're telling me it's that high IQ guy who's making simple plays that can execute both ends of the floor, great. You're telling me he's a 34-35% shooter for 4 years? No problem.
Yeah.
To address your question earlier about the age, so it's like, oh, well, this guy's 17, but he's really raw and he's athletically. Well, I'm like, well, there's a lot of development there. What I'm looking for is skill level by age. If it's 17 and there's a lot to work on, by the time that player is 20, 21, okay, they look like maybe an NBA player. But if you're telling me, hey, this guy is 22 or 23 and, oh, he has anticipation that I don't see any from anybody else I've watched today. Oh, he makes correct moves. Oh, he makes good decisions. I don't need to worry about this guy. Oh, he has NBA strength. It's like the age has gone up along with the skill too.
Yeah.
You know, if he was 21 years old, and at this point it's like, well, what else would he improve on? Well, okay, his shooting. Well, he still needs to improve on that a little bit, but I mean, I'll take it.
And from a team building perspective, you get a 23-year-old on essentially a 4-year contract with that late first type of deal that's, you know, $4 million a year, $5 million a year, and can play right away. Like, that's what he looked like to me from a two-way player, role player type of standpoint, is just this is a grown-up that you can throw into the mix right away. I want to transition from who I thought was the smartest guy that you sent me to the most fundamental, certainly amongst the bigs. Henry Vissar out of UNC. I was so impressed at his screen setting, at his ability to keep the ball high, his pivots, just everything he was doing from a fundamentally sound standpoint. It was Pete Newell's big man camp type of stuff, Mike, that I just really, really liked him. Talk to me about what you think of him.
So what I like about him is, well, one, he's got a 9'3 standing reach. So I know he has the height and the length to kind of compete. He has prior experience with Real Madrid. So when you're talking about the screen setting and the timing and the post work and whatnot, you can see how it transferred right away. And his early college career started over in Arizona. I don't know what Arizona does. They're really great at developing drop coverage bigs. And it's like, oh, he's from this school. And then he went to UNC. And there was an advanced stat I came across where the effect of him being on the floor was 19 points better net rating than him being off the floor. And I was like, well, I think that's their best defensive player, because Caleb Wilson, the number four guy, wasn't the most polished defensive player. So when they played together, okay, great, here's this net overall effect. I do have concerns about his pick and roll coverage, because I think he can only do drop.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about, like, you know, flat hedging or soft hedging, maybe. Like, it's one of my concerns. And then the other concern would be, he already added a lot of weight once. These people are human beings, right? Some people have two growth spurts. Some people have one. Some people, like, have one growth spurt, like, oh, I jumped half a foot, right? Well, sure. I don't know about, like, weight spurts, right?
You get the freshman 15. Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he went from, like, 190 out of Real Madrid to, like, okay, well, he's at 227 now. Well, he's what, 21, 22 years old? Is that really enough at his age? No, not really. But at the same time, I keep comparing him to Vlade, because when I was a lot younger, those were the days. And I remember Vlade, his rookie year, his second year, it's like, oh, he's kind of light as a sitter. And he wasn't really, like, he was, like, afraid to dunk. Everything was like a finesse shot at the rim. And I would imagine, well, he'll gain a little bit of weight and then it would be fine. And it took a while, but he got there. And I watch Vsar now, and it's like, okay, he's 227. I still think he can gain a little bit more, but can't really rely on it, because weight affects body the different ways. I don't want a more injury prone player, right? But the good part about it is he's one of the few guys in the draft who's like a rim level lob threat and a three-point shooter, and mm-hmm. he operates out of the elbows in the post and can make good decisions out of that. Now, I don't think he's anticipatory like Joshua Jefferson, but it's like, oh, I know this play, I know where my cutter is, and I know where my best shooter is, and I can make a decision depending on what the defense does. I think the Lakers are looking for that, especially on Luka-led offense as well.
So you bring up the weight issue with Vsar, and this guy wasn't on the list, but he's my draft crush in my Blink research. My draft crush is a guy that Darius had me cracking up. He calls him Chow Ming, big man out of Italy, Luigi Swigo, 7'3", big, big dude, 19 years old, can stretch it a little bit out to the three-point line, got some touch, some ball skills. I don't think he's like ready to play right away or anything, man, but my eyes were like, auga, from a, like, I could just ton of skill for a 19-year-old kid. That's huge, but not on your list. Mike, what do you think of him?
So the thing is, he has very soft touch, and I know he's playing, I think he's playing in the Italian league right now. So I'm seeing this, like, you know, I don't even know his exact height, between 7'3 to 7'5. And I've seen him listed at 280. And I'm thinking, who's going to stop this guy at this league? He needs to level up, right? Mm-hmm. And we haven't talked about this player before from Michigan, Adai Mara, who used to play for UCLA, and now he's with Michigan. And to me, there's some similarity there in terms of mobility. And then the idea of, like, oh, this guy has shooting touch, and I think he knows what he's doing on the floor. Okay, great. But at the same time, if this were, do you remember around 2005, 2006, and I made a draft list, and it included, like, Andrew Bynum as, like, my number three guy.
Oh, yeah, you were super high on Bynum. That was the first time I'd ever heard of him, yeah.
And the thing was, it's like, oh, here's this guy, he's got long arms, and he's got soft touch, and then I found out later he had a knee injury problem, and then I watched the tape, and it's like, oh, this guy isn't the fastest runner, and he doesn't jump really high, but I think he knows what he's doing, and I think he wants to do better. I kind of feel like Swigo is that kind of project. But in the meantime, it's like, well, my arms are so long, I'm going to get every rebound that's within my vicinity. And then I'll just be behind the arc. If you need to put me in a corner, I can make these shots. Like, who's going to contest me? I'm too tall, right? Mm-hmm. So if the Lakers were really willing to take that risk, I'd be really surprised. But at the same time, there are things you can't teach. You can't teach a 9'9 standing reach. You can't teach, 7'10 arms or whatever Swigo is, 7'7. You can't teach 7'3 height. And, you know, if he goes through that kind of, like, 2 or 3 year regimen of, I don't know what Bynum had to do before. I think he like used to run up sand dunes, just build up conditioning and get core strength, all of that stuff, then by all means. But I keep thinking of J.J. Redick and how he leans to switchability on defense and that kind of flexibility, and I just don't see him in that realm. Uh-huh. But if he's a drop cover guy and he sits in the paint and he's like, okay, or you're coming towards me, I got you, don't worry about it, then I totally would understand the pick.
Let's go to break here, come back, and maybe talk about one of those bigs that is a little bit more on the switchable side.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
One of the prospects that you sent me, a guy who played in the title game, I was watching him and I was like, this guy feels like a throwback. I don't feel like there are many players like him in the league anymore. That's Terrace Reed Jr. I was very impressed at his ability to show out on the perimeter, but also be big and physical around the rim. I don't know, maybe Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart out of Detroit might be a comp, but he's also struck me as, is that a four cosplaying as a five, but he doesn't have, I think, the perimeter game to be able to do that. Talk to me about Terrace Reed Jr., a guy who I know you like.
So Terrace Reed Jr. is from UConn, and I know Laker fans aren't the biggest fan of the coach, but what I will say is Terrace Reed played under a lot of different coverages under UConn. And when it's a flat hedge or drop coverage or whatever else it might be, like, he understands, like, oh, this is what I need to do. Okay, I can execute it to the best of my ability. Doesn't mean he's the best at it, but it's not like, oh, he's brand new to this concept of, oh, I need a hard hedge this time. Oh, I need a trap. Oh, I can do all these things. Like, he's just on the side of mobile. Let's just flip this around a little bit. What's your impression of Damron Sharp?
I like Sharp. That's an interesting comp. Yeah, he's a guy who really good rebounder, has some mobility. He's a name I hear enough from Laker fans that I'm a little more on. I don't see it quite as much as everybody else does because of how short he is. I guess I might have a little bit of a bias against shorter type of fives that I don't think are particularly impactful from a rim protection standpoint, but great motor, right? Great rebounder. So yeah, I see that comp with Reed.
So with Reed, I mean, I think his listed height was just under 6'10". I don't really look at height anymore. I mean, we could talk about Colin Castleton and his neck, you know. Sure. But this is why I always look at standing reach. And if the standing reach is above 9'1", in his case, it's 9'2". Okay, great. How much does he weigh? Oh, he's over 260 pounds and he's shown this ability to rebound. Great. He is a very throwback center in that kind of way. He operates out of the post, you know, paint player under the rim. first, and then slowly extend to the elbows and the mid-post area. And then, okay, I'm out behind the three-point line. Let's do a triple handoff. But am I going to get all the way to the rim if I dive? Probably not. I'm going to short roll this, but I have some touch and I can finish in 5 feet, 7 feet. Sure, that'll absolutely work. I do think he, along with Jefferson, would be one of the more ready prospects because of that size and weight and just the versatility of its play on both ends of the floor. So none of the concepts are new to him. So I just wanted to make sure I threw that in there as well.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody I think could play right away on the defensive end, especially just with the level of versatility, and I think would fit Redick's scheme. Speaking of mobile bigs, big guy out of St. John's, Zubi Ejiofor. Talk to us about him, Mike.
So Zubi Ejiofor, I think his best ability is just being a switchable center where it's like, oh, what pick and roll coverage do you want to try? You want to trap? You want a hard hedge? You want me to drop? Okay, I can do all of these things. You need me to switch to this guard? I can absolutely switch, and it's not a problem. You know, his standing reach is around 8'11", which is just on the side of what I would say is passable for a center in the first place. And I see him more as a face-up center, not a low-post guy. I mean, he's basically outsized in that kind of painted area. And his skills are developing from that elbow area, but, you know, his shooting isn't really quite there yet. I know he's working on it. I think he's high 20s, low 30% behind the arc, and he's probably mid 30% in the extended two-point range. Great. Well, if you want this option of, hey, let's put this guy on the floor. I don't need to worry about him switching defensively. He's not going to completely compromise my defense overall. And if we execute the scheme well, he will be a part of it. Or maybe we do a zone defense, and I understand that, oh, wherever he gets thrown, he understands where to be, and then he'll get the rebound and go ahead and push. Offensively, you know, I don't really see him as a lob target, as like even Vesar level. He doesn't have the range just quite yet. So he's got a very specific role in terms of defense and rebounding and a very specified defensive skill set.
Speaking of a guy with some defensive skill set, forward out of Cincinnati, Baba Miller. Talk to us about him.
Baba Miller took me a while to come around. This isn't the first time I've come across his name. When we think of like lanky, athletic, power forwards, guys like Chet Holmgren would kind of fit the bill. And he's not quite that, but he is a slashing kind of power forward who shows some versatility on defense as well. What I like about him is his ball handling has really improved throughout his time all the way up until Cincinnati. And he gives this option about doing driving kicks. And now when he surveys the floor on his drives, I mean, he's basically just looking at the dump off right underneath the hoop. And if that option isn't there, you know, he's 6'10", 6'11", he's just going to take it right at the rim. He's just really versatile. But at the same time, I'm not very clear on who he defends because I think he's still under 210 pounds. Mm. So it's one of those aspects where he is athletic. He is really tall. Does he have enough to defend a wing? Do I have to put him there? And even if you do that, I think he's like a 19% arc shooter for the year. I mean, he made one or two during the combine. And I know he's expanding his range, like his two-point percentage has been improving from mid-range and out. But his best ability, especially in terms of the Lakers, would be being a grab-and-go, push up the tempo, and then really get things out of transition. Like I said, the fever dream is to have all those lob threats, but at the same time, that's just a transition bucket in my head within the half court. I want to get this team to run too. And if the Lakers were looking for that kind of athleticism and going in that direction, by all means, let's run because it'd be exciting basketball anyway, but let's get wins through easy buckets as well.
Mike, I got three guys for you that were not on the list that you sent me, but I would like to get your thoughts on them. First one was a forward who really impressed me in a way similar to Jefferson, Alan Graves out of Santa Clara. Talk to me about him.
Alan Graves is a little bit of an analytics darling because his steal rate and block rates were basically 5% each. Which is abnormally high. Usually when I'm looking at advanced stats, I'm looking at, okay, maybe it's on a 1.5 block rate or 2% plus, and okay, they have some awareness on defense. Great. When it's 5, it's like, okay, there's something special here. What am I missing? So offensively, Alan Graves is for now mostly a pick and pop guy within the half court. He's not exactly a guy that you post up on offense. Maybe you put him at the elbows as a decision maker because he is capable of making those passes. But I'm also mindful of the level of competition as well, where it's like, oh, there's a really stark difference between Ejiofor or Vissar in the high post making a pass to a cutter versus, you know, whatever level of competition Santa Clara is at. And I just know it's a smaller defender that's cutting across a lane, right? So the upside there is he really has a soft touch. And he really is a pick and pop guy. I just don't know where else to put him on the floor offensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively, where I think he stands out is, I think, how do I phrase this? You know when you watch players steal a basketball and they cut into a passing lane, but they'll like cut the path of the pass like halfway? Like they'll get it just off the bounce.
Oh, uh-huh.
Or you know what I mean? So half the path of the pass, right? And then, you know, pick six all the way to the other. Mm-hmm. The tape that I've seen of Graves, it's not a lot. He doesn't get a wealth of exposure, unfortunately. But the tape I've seen of Graves, it's like, I think he attacks the hands. Like, oh, the ball is supposed to bounce to this target spot. Oh, let me go to the target spot, and I'll just swipe at that spot, and then I'll get the steal.
Right.
And so I see a lot of that.
Smart.
It is smart, except for, you know, when I look at the foul trouble per 40 minutes, it's like 5.5, and it's like, oh, that's a lot.
Oh, he gets a lot of fouls. That makes sense. If he's getting it at the point of the catch, you're going to get the wrist sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then his block rate is really surprising. So he's a timing blocker, not a vertical blocker where it's like, oh, I'm in great position. Oh, this guy's going to – I know where that the release point of the shooter is going to be. Oh, he's going to do a jump hook, hand up, I've got the hands, block.
Marcus Saul type of blocks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So – there's an aspect where it's like, oh, I mean, that's a level of feel you can't teach. And I know he has soft hands, and I know, like, he does all these things. And then there's the other aspect of, well, he's not a vertical athlete. He's not a fast athlete. Uh-huh. Where do I put him defensively? And then he still could get out-muscled at that spot. Now I don't know where to put him, and then he could still get into foul trouble. Okay, great.
So I think guys like that are actually kind of perfect for the scheme that Redick wants to play and likes to play with the switching and all that. Sort of a jack of all trades, master of none, can do a little bit of a lot of different things. There's value in that.
There's absolutely value in that. And the thing is, he's really great at these specific things. You know, it's like you'll see a guard bring up the ball, they'll pass it to the center, and then he's always defending the center. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a deflected pass because he's aiming for that hand. That hand is extended and it's a pick six for him. Right. And it's just one of those things where I think he would actually be worth a pick. I don't know what the structure of the player development is for the Lakers. And it's not like there's this stable environment of, oh, these are our guys. This is who they've developed before. This is how their path has actually looked. And we can just throw him in that mix and then, oh, he'd be great. We don't have that path yet. So, you know, I want these guys to get the bag. I want them to be successful. And I think if he goes to a specific, I mean, if he goes to OKC, I mean, give me a break, right? But they have a great path, player development path, and they can extract those things out of him while making him at least neutral and then improve him defensively without the foul trouble. That's the kind of thing I worry about. And then on top of that, he's a spacing big. That will always matter. Yeah. He's over 40% behind the arc. If he sits in the corner, I mean, I guess he'll deal with it, whatever. But I do like the fact that he does create havoc defensively. And that especially matters for this Laker team.
Yeah, very much so. Very interesting prospect. All right, want to wrap up with two guys that I think have some elite defensive tools. First is on the younger side, forward out of Arizona, who I think just has some great athletic gifts. Koa Pete, what do you think of him?
Koa Pete, I've gone back and forth kind of all season. Because he's a player from, obviously from Arizona. He's had a lot of accolades throughout his career. And when I watch him play, I'm thinking it's like, oh, this kind of reminds me of how Aaron Gordon kind of grew up in Arizona as a freshman too, where he was this defensive, like an athletic, strong, kind of defensive-oriented forward. But entering Arizona, he wasn't perceived that way. He was perceived as more of a scoring power wing operating out of the post. And I watched the combine, and apparently he made some changes to the shot. And I don't know if you've come across tape of a player when you've seen them in practice and then they repeat the same shots and they're missing everything and they do it 2 years straight. And then by that third year, it's like, oh, it clicks.
Uh-huh.
So in Pete's case, it's like he does the same move out of the high post. He drives across and gets into the paint and he pulls up for this 10 to 12 foot, you know, jump shot. And it's like it rims in and out. It goes left. It goes right. It goes long. It's just short. And I'm just like, I can't find any consistency with the shot. Does he have any touch? And, you know, he's a mid-60s free throw shooter. And it's like, can we play a forward that has this level of touch? I think we already have a problem with that on the Lakers now, unfortunately. Everything else, his transition play, he moves the ball around in the half court. He knows what he's doing defensively. He'll lapse rarely, which is great. But I know he plays with force and that matters. But I don't know if that's exactly the right kind of prospect. Now, if we're going by high skill, high IQ, high character, oh, this is the skill we think we can work on because we've hired this guy, by all means. But given the current situation today, I think there might be better choices.
All right. And our last guy, I could have sworn this is, you know, the draft is something I check in on every 6 months. You know, unless we up until that last 3 week period that we're in right now, Mike, and I could have sworn when I saw this dude 6 months ago, he was much higher in mocks. He's close enough to the Lakers range where I'm like, defensive big man, lefty, Jaden Quaintance. What do you think of him? You thought I was going to say somebody else, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Who did you think I was talking about?
I thought you were going to talk about Nate Amon.
Oh, yeah. No, isn't he like way higher than where we're going to be or no?
He's ranked that high. Okay. You know my thing where certain players that are ranked really high, I expect them to drop, or certain players are really low. I'll be like, oh, no, this guy should be this high.
Okay.
I think he's one of those guys. We'll talk about Quaintance. He's really advanced for his age in terms of defensive instinct. I don't want to overshoot this comparison, but I'm going to. I can't think of another player. Before Ben Wallace was in Detroit, he was in the Orlando Magic. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I liked about Ben Wallace on the Orlando Magic was he was getting unusually high block rate and rebound rate, and he only played like 15 or 20 minutes a game. And he was a rookie or second year, whatever else it might be. And I'm like, oh, I want the Lakers to get this guy. I don't care if he can't shoot. He's a possession getter. Get possessions. That's what he does. Well, 5 years later, okay, well, he got a championship. We get it. Quaintance is of that mold where he doesn't look like he's 280 pounds and super strong. He's probably 240 to 250. But I don't understand how he, like, there's a play that gets played on my Twitter all the time. It's Quaintance driving towards Ejiofor, backing him down, and then just scoring right over him. He, like, outpowers Ejiofor. Is 243 pounds. He's not small in any way. And he's just like, oh, I'm going to power this guy, throw him to the hoop. Right? Oh, I'm in the post. I'm going to throttle him again right through the hoop. Now, Ejiofor is an all-defensive type accolade player for, I want to say, the Big East. I don't know my conferences, but I think that's right.
Yeah, that all changed since we were kids, right? It's all gone down.
Look, my Rolodex, it's so full. Some stuff is leaving, but I'm trying.
Amen to that. Yes, I feel that.
But what I worry about with Quaintance is I don't trust him to make decisions offensively. I don't, like, I've seen him make passes out of the high post. I don't know if he can shoot. What I do like is I do think he's a special defensive player with kind of like outlier strength for his weight. And I think he can play bigger than his size. Mm-hmm. And there's no other way to describe that defensively. And if you can make sure he's healthy, because that's the hardest part.
That's a big thing.
He's got critical injuries. Yeah. But I'm usually really reserved when it comes to player injuries. Like, I was this way when it was Michael Porter Jr. I'm like, I don't know how you deal with that. Right. And I was this way when it was, oh, who's the center for Milwaukee? Miles Turner. Like, Miles Turner had gait issues during his workouts that were found out. I'm like, I don't know how you fix that. How do you fix running in a summer? You don't fix that in one, right? But if the Lakers were really risky and they want to say, hey, we want a guy who can switch defensively, maybe be an anchor, even though he's only 6'9 or 6'10 or whatever it might be, that would be the dude.
That, yeah, he's somebody that I think you could help Willing build a really credible defense around. Last thing on him, any lob threat ability there?
Honestly, his footage has been so limited just in the lot. I think he only played like a few games. And then some of those games, he was really hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if your leg is hurt, I can't see where you punch up.
Yeah, great point. Yeah.
So I know in Arizona State, he got a few lobs, but I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's not a vertical threat in terms of leaping ability. It's a vertical threat in terms of reach. Like, oh, you put the ball near the hoop, I'm going to get it with my really long arm. Boom. So hey, that's who he is as a lob threat.
Love it. Mike, thank you so much for this one. We're going to wrap up here for part one. And in part two, we're going to talk about some sleepers and second round prospects and get Mike's thoughts just on the Lakers offseason. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double team. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Lonnie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to the winner. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his 8th block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to 5. Bryant.
Yeah.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.